Blessed Father, we want to return to you praises and honor and adoration for who you are, the God of heaven and earth, the ruler of the universe, the one that is worthy to receive all the glory. Thank you, everlasting God. Another privilege you are giving us to assemble in your house this morning after our last gathering here. We are grateful to you for your blessings upon us, your cares, your provision, your leadership, your favor, answers to our prayers, your daily preparation in our lives as individuals. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace that has brought this truth to us, and the same grace that is giving us understanding and the impact that the same is having in our lives. We know it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but by your spirit, by your love, by your grace, by your predestination. Thank you. Lord, we are here once again. As your word has commanded us to come, we have come. And you have said, whosoever comes unto you, we know why it's cast out. We have expectations in our hearts, want to draw closer to you, want to attain higher ground, want to be filled with your spirit, want to receive healing to our body, from the crowns of our head to the tips of our toes, to enjoy good health that you have purchased. Lord, we desire the backslider to restore sinners, to come home. Lord, you will stretch out your hand to do all that you have promised in your word, for we are in expectation. Thank you, Father. Lord, you have designed the way you are going to bless us today. We pray, Lord, that you will give us revelation to identify you at every point where our matter has been addressed. Give us grace to humble ourselves. Glorify your name. Bless us, O God, as we commit the entire services of the day to you, that you will take preeminence, Lord. And at the end, all the glory and honor will be yours alone. Forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Let your blood stand for us. Let nothing stand between us and you at this moment. Thank you, eternal Father. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open first Matthew chapter 16. It's lengthy so that we can sit down after we have read it. Matthew 16. Read from verse 13 to 18. All right. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's open to, you can see that, Revelation chapter 3. We read the last two verses. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Start from that. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as... Oh, sorry. I mean Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I'm thinking, I'm preaching on how can I overcome? Sorry. I was just couldn't link the two together when I started reading that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. We welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord, to Sunday school. We started this last two Sundays, and we are progressing. We ended our thought reading Hebrews chapter 11. To see what faith wrought in the life of those who God gave revelation to in their time, in the Old Testament, and in the time of our Lord as well. Because in that Hebrews, if you look at it, you will see that without God making himself known to the individuals who was recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, they could not have such testimonies. Praise be to God. You will realize, we'll be reminded when our prophet was discussing with a scholar who was telling the prophet that we don't accept all revelations. And the prophet told the man that, well, there is no way for Jesus Christ to get to you. There is only through revelation that God contacts his people. And that is why in the sermon, why Christ speak, the prophet said, faith, it is by faith that we contact God, and God also contacts us. God relates with his children through revelation, making his will, his perfect will, known to them. And when God reveals that, then it becomes part and parcel of those people. They cannot live anything different from that. And that's why they become dogmatic, they become strong, and because of that, they can lay down their lives for that cause. Praise be to God. Let us read from Why Christ Speak before we continue with the other ones. Why Christ Speak, paragraph 64, if I... 64. Let's see here. Let me brighten this a little. Paragraph 64. All right. Let me start from paragraph 63. I gave a drama on it for the children not long ago and said, while Amram was in the room praying, he saw an angel. Pull his sword and point it towards the north and say, you will have a child and he will take the children not to the promised land. Giving a drama for the little fellow so they will understand it, that their intellect hasn't come up to the place that you had it and can grasp the things as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Now, Though his mother had told him these things, and he knew this, yet he needed another touch. That was Moses. He needed another touch. He had learned it through his mother. And that's why the prophet said that we can know this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We can know the verses. We can know the quotes. We can understand everything. But the prophet said, as the case of Moses, the mother told him that you were born a peculiar child. So God raised you up for the deliverance of Israel. He knew it. And that was why he went ahead to kill an Egyptian for an Israelite. So the prophet told us there that he was taught by his mother. But before he could carry out that which is God's will for his life, and for him to actually understand what he was to do. He had an idea of what he was to do, but he didn't have the perfect knowledge of what he was to do and how to do it. And which it has to be another thing coming to him. Though his mother had told him these things, and he knew this, yet he needed another touch. The teaching was fine, but he needed a personal contact. That is what the world needs today. That is what the church needs today. That is what everyone needs, that are sons and daughters of God. In order to be that, you need a personal contact. See something. No matter, you know the word is true. You know it's right. But then when it contacts, and then you see the thing done, then you know you are on the right road. See? And watch, it will always be scriptural. It will stand right with the scripture because this did. Moses, the revelation that Moses received was in line with the scripture. So any contact that we receive, any revelation we receive must also blend with the scripture. That's what the prophet is saying. It must not be a revelation that we take one off the scripture, and you are saying that Father just revealed to me now. God told me. Which most times they walk by the impression of their mind, and they say, God said the Lord, and they say, God told me. The prophet says, you have to be careful. You know, many times we are exposed to a lot of things when you discuss with people out there. They tell you God speaks to them. When God speaks to you, I want to know what God tells you. And when I hear what God tells you, I want to see how it compares with the scripture. That's when I know God tells you. I say, except you're going to be like Balaam. You know the will of God. You want to insist on your will, then you'll be given permissive will. There is none of God's elect that want God's permissive will. There is none. Because you will suffer it. That's it. You will suffer for it. So, then we come this morning to look at, the prophet told us that faith, which is called revelation, sorry, I didn't remember to mention that we are back to our topic, our title, Revelation and You. God bless you. So, we continue with this point this morning. Without faith, we will not be able to apply the right value to the things of God. We will not be able to apply the right value to the things of God. We will place other things, we will value other things higher than we value the things of God. And that is why the prophets in the sermon why Christ speak, paragraph 159, which, before I read that, please let's come to Hebrews chapter 11. We read from verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's why the prophet told us that faith has no fear in it. Faith has no fear. That was why the father and the mother of Moses did not fear Pharaoh's sword, according to the scripture here. They didn't fear. Moses too didn't fear that. Alright? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, when he was come to years, in other words, by revelation, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he grew older to know it. He refused. By revelation, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. To be a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he entitled him to the throne. He entitled him to the throne. Which many people are dying for today. Which many people are killing other people for today. For the material things of the world. The prophet told us an instance of a man who, which psalm was that? I'm trying to remember the psalm. I think it is without money, without price. The prophet said, two men went for a job application. The other one got it. The other one didn't get it. So the one that didn't get it felt that he needed the job more than the other guy. And they went to kill him. Now, the devil will not tell him that that job will not be his. He would rather, maybe he would prefer that, as the Yoruba would say, kakake kuma jesese. Have you shower done? If me, I no go gain, you too will no go gain. It's a horrible spirit. Spirit of covetousness. Spirit of jealousy that enters into murder. If I will not have, you will not have. That's why Abel can't kill Abel. Because that of Abel was accepted. His was not. You say, eh? If that is the case, God would rather not have anybody to worship him than for Abel to be alive. I will kill him and then I will see who will worship him. Who sacrifice you will not? You'll be forced to accept my own. That was Satan's thought. That spirit started from Genesis. So, and he has not died. It is at the end of the day, at the lake of fire, that is when every one of them will be exterminated. When God will rain down his fire to destroy the whole thing. And that's the last thing that will happen before the first class city will descend here. All demons in the sky, in the firmament, everywhere, wherever they are hiding, God will rain down this holy fire and take care of them. All the pollutants and the rest. Praise be to God. So Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he didn't want, he looked at what was ahead of him. Two things were ahead of him. He looked at the throne in Egypt, which had a lot of largesses to it. You can imagine, controlling the world. He will be the controller of the world. That's what it means. Having the prophet said, he has access to the virgins of Egypt. Women of Egypt. Which is the problem of the Muslim. It is their promised women. Virgins. In what they call Ajana. That's what Muhammad promised them. You know? You can see the thoughts of, you know, where their religion links to immorality. And that's why they carry plenty of women here. Because himself is incontinent. He couldn't hold himself until he got the wife of his son. He committed incest in the light of the scripture. Muhammad. If you don't know that, go and find out. That's what happened to him. He committed incest.
Because ko le gbara duro bi Yoruba ti ma so possess with immoral spirit. Moses had those promises around him, things that the young men of today are looking at: beautiful woman, riches, properties, material things, which they have, which is presented before them. And then here was another option before Moses, which is eternal life, to go with the people of God, to go with the children of Israel, who Baba at that time were mud daubers, people that you wouldn't want to associate with. They were nobody in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of the world. Only Moses saw God's glory on them. The prophet said Moses looked through the window, he saw God's people. He saw covenanted people. Pharaoh looked through the same window, he saw mud daubers, renegades, slaves. They saw through different eyes. Moses looked through revelation, he saw God's people. Pharaoh looked through natural eyes, he saw people that needed to be destroyed. Remember, the same Satan came to Jesus to present to him. He said, if you will bow down and worship him, I'll give you the entire world. The glories and the majesty of it, they are mine, and I give it to you. Whosoever, I give it to whosoever I will. Is in my care. The prophet told us that Jesus did not argue with him. The prophet, he was telling the truth, because he's the God of this age, evil age. He's the God of the world. Remember, the prophet told us that in Satan's seed, that he's been the God of this world right from the time that Adam and Eve fell. God was only doing his own work so that he can restore back to Eden again. But now, Satan is ruling the world. So, with that, he has the world. That is why he comes. The prophet told us that what the devil does is that he presents to everybody the three types of temptation that he presented to Eve. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. The prophet said the temptation Satan gave to Jesus approximated the same, it was approximately the same thing with what he gave to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And he presented it to Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ knew that he would fall heir to this world. And he has to pay. He had to redeem this world by his own blood. So he wouldn't take it from the devil. He wanted to give him free of charge. And that's the same revelation Abraham had when the people, when he was looking for a space to bury his dead. He located a place called Machpelah. And he approached the people that owned the land. He said, oh, Abraham, you're a prince among us. Very wonderful man. Go ahead and take it. We'll give it to you for free. Just go and bury your dead. You don't need to talk about it. He said, no. You just have to pay me. He said, don't worry. He insisted. Because that place where Machpelah, where Sarah was buried, that's where Abraham too was buried. That's where Job was buried. And that was the land of Palestine, where resurrection was to take place. And it took place there. Praise be to God. Revelation, faith makes us to esteem God's words than the best the world can offer. Revelation makes us to esteem, to value the worst that God can offer. Suffering, affliction, and whatever that are, you know, designed along our pathway. That's why the prophet said, God did not design those things to run us into the world. He designed those things to get us to get a deeper root in him. But that's to the elect. Anyway, let me read why Christ speak, paragraph 159. But his faith led him to take the choice of the world. word of God, and not the glamour. That's Moses. Paragraph 159. Where Christ speaks is the second one, 1953. Sorry, 1963. But his faith led him to take the choice of the world and not the glamour. He took the word. That is what Moses' faith did. That's what Moses' faith did. When faith looks on God's words, remember, here was the glamour now, the world, the highest king of the world. That was what was before Moses. King of the world. And where was God's promise? In the mud hole. A mud daubers, the children of Israel. And Moses had to make a choice. But when faith looks at God's worst, it esteems it greater and more valuable than the best the world can show. Without revelation, it is not possible for anybody to take that decision. It's not. You know why? First Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at that. I think that is what the next thing that we've got to read about that. First Corinthians. It's because the carnal mind can never accept the things of God. That flesh will lean to the things of the world. Can't help it. Alright? Let's read here from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which the Holy Spirit can teach, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, they were blindfolded. They didn't even know that it was the Lord of glory they were crucifying. They didn't know it was Jesus they were crucifying. No, the devil is an unbeliever. He does not believe. That was why he could come to Jesus to tell him that if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. The only thing he believes that he knows there is God, he knows there is God, but he will make you to doubt that there is no God. You know that what the scripture says? Even the devil believes there is God and he trembles. But it will make you to believe there is no God. Many people that are out there, and sometimes it makes people to believe there is God, and that God does not love you. You know, he told Abraham that. It's still the devil behind those things. Sometimes you think about different religions of the world. Who is behind those things apart from true Christianity? It's the devil. He will create this, he will create this, he will create it, and he's taking them to the same place. He will create this religion. Abruchi. Olumba. Brotherhood of Cross and Star. Hare Krishna. What's the name of this man on Lagos Road? The Altar Togate. Guru Maharaj. That's another religion. Islamic religion is there. Denomination is there. Deceiving the people. And yet those people will rest assured that they are following the right way. Satan. That is why the election is a great thing. No man can come to God if he's not elected. Education, riches, poverty, illiteracy has nothing to do with it. It's simply God's prerogative. His sovereignty. Praise be to God. All right. We are here. This time is which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodian councils, part of the princes of the world, if they knew that that was the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have cooperated for to have handed him over to Pilate. You know? So, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And that thing we can only see by the eyes of faith. It's because it is not physical. That is why many people will say that God's judgment does not come on time. You know? God's judgment does not come on time. I'm coming of God. In 20 years, he's still coming. You know, that's derogatory. Despisers of the scripture. That's what Peter was talking about. They are saying that where is the promise of his coming? Since the word has begun, our fathers have been saying this one, and we are here too. Where is it? Despising the promise. They have forgotten that the patience of God is what is working for men to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual thing with spiritual thing. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How can a carnal man esteem people that are murderers, that are slaves, that are recognized as slaves? How can somebody take side with them and say, I'm going with this people, when he was a step to the throne? How can somebody do that without God helping him? That's what will be by revelation. What is being said here is to make us to recognize that in making choices, we need God's help. You know, the other time we talk about free moral agency. Everybody has it. But when you become a Christian, you become something else. God controls you. He leads you. In the sermon, a prisoner, which is where the prophet talked about Paul being a prisoner, how God met him on the way and the rest of it, is there the prophet was still talking about the first paragraph of it, where he said that, that we are placed on that choice. But when predestination is to take place, God steps in. God still works things around on his own. But the thing that a man does while he exercises the free moral agency, if they are contrary to God, he will suffer for it. And that's how God brings human beings to judgment. It's based on your decision. And the decision you take is based on your will, free will, that you can do this, you cannot do this. And you can choose to do what is right. You can choose what is wrong. But when you become a Christian, the prophet says you cannot live the life you want to live. So it is when you become a Christian that the Spirit has a control of your life. When God gives you revelation, he takes away your will. God suppresses your will. That revelation becomes real to you than any other thing. Every other thing fades when that is revealed to you. That was why Moses was able to look at those that were murderers, slaves. And he said, a stone to the throne, a step to the throne. He said, Lala, don't call me Pharaoh's daughter. Sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Lala, don't call me that. I'll go with these people. May the Lord be our help. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads. God bless you.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you again this morning for Lord, the great things that you have done for us, Lord, by following us and choosing us to be yours before the world began. Lord, we thank you very much for our eyes that have been opened. Lord, to see these things, O God, that we have seen, and to hear the things that we have heard. Lord, we just ask, O God, that it will not pass the head of any of us, O God, but your Spirit will direct it to our hearts as individuals and place it there and water it, O living God, that might produce the expected fruit, O God. Our desire and our prayer is that as we are working on each and every one of us, you will not leave anyone behind. May no one be a spectator, O Father, but may we be full partakers of this glory and of this grace. Your word that has gone forth unto us this morning, Lord, speaking again about this revelation and we as individuals, we pray, dear Father, if there be anyone here that do not know, O God, what you have done in our generation, that do not have a testimony, O God, of what it is all about that we call the message of the hour, be gracious unto such, O Father. May you touch them, dear Lord. May today mark a difference in their life, dear God. Let it be King of Glory. We ask that, Lord, you bless your servant you have used again this morning, Lord, to bring your word unto us. May you lift up the honor of his ministry and replenish the strength that has gone from him. Thank you, dear Father. We bless and magnify your name. The rest of the services is your hand, may your grace abide with us. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.